أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 50. جنات عدن مفتحة لهم الأبواب متكئين فيها يدعون فيها بفاكهة كثيرة وشراب وعندهم قاصرات الطرف أتراب. The Garden of Eden, whose gates are flung open for them, reclining therein on couches. Therein they ask for abundant fruits and drinks, and with them would be maidens of restrained glances of a like age. Now, this is a set of things which are prepared for muttaqin in paradise, and this is the husnul ma'ab which is mentioned in the previous verse. هَذَا ذِكْرٌ وَإِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ لَحُسْنَ مَعَابٍ. Indeed, the God where we have a good destination. This good destination is described here with the type of bounties which are mentioned here in paradise. First of all, Jannati Adnin, the gardens of Eden. Eden or Adn has the meaning of everlasting. So these are gardens not like the gardens of this world. These are everlasting gardens that are going to be there forever. مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ, whose gates are flung open for them. Now, abwab here may mean the gates of paradise. We know that paradise has 8 gates. And again, in the Quran it's mentioned that hell has 7 gates. And each gate is allocated to a certain group of people, of course. When we say gate, it doesn't mean that anyone can enter from any gate. Each group of people, due to their actions, due to what they have, how they have performed in this world, they are allowed from one gate. And that one gate leads to one location of paradise or hell. So, the gates actually open to different locations in the paradise and in the hell, and therefore they are allocated to different groupings of people. So here, مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ, the doors are flung open for them, means if we take it to be the gates of the paradise, means that when they arrive there, they find the doors opened for them. However, this is somehow in opposition to the verses in Surah Zumar. Hatta idha ja'uha wa futihat abwabuha wa qala lahum hazanatuha salamun alaykum. They have to come there until the doors are open. The verses in Surah Zumar actually refers to the fact that the Jannah would not materialize, or the hell would not materialize, unless we reach that very position in our evolution towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the door would be open and should be open there and then when we arrive there. It's not open yet. This مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ, gates are flung open for them, means that they are already open for them. Here you are, this is for you, come and go in. It seems to be in some opposition with that verse which says that no, the doors will be open for them only when they get there. Now, abwab here might mean one other thing. It might mean windows to everything or doors to everything. The doors to everything are open for them in paradise. مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ. You see, sometimes when we want to do something in this world, we see that all doors to do that thing are closed for us because it's out of our capacity, our capability, our means are not sufficient to do those things. So the doors to many things in this world are closed for us. Here the verse is alluding to the fact that it is completely different in paradise. You want to do anything, the doors are open for you. Every door for every action, for realizing every wish is open to you in paradise. And therefore, it means that the bounties, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise are not restricted, are not limited. It is only limited by your own wish. Because when the Quran says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا, whatever they wish, it would be there. It means there's no restriction in terms of things coming from the other side, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you wish would come. And this, of course, might seem to be a bit in contradiction with the fact that we know there are different levels in paradise. There are different types of living. Different people of different levels of spirituality live in different situations or in different pleasures in paradise. So if everyone can wish the same thing, then everyone should live in the same situation and with the same bounties. However, the problem would disappear when we think that the only restriction there is the restriction of your wish. You would not wish many things because you cannot imagine it. And therefore things are restricted for you. So long as you can imagine something good, it would come to you. Because if you imagine something good, then you want to have it. You wish to have it. And if you wish to have it, it would come to you. Therefore, there is no restriction from that side. The restriction is, however, from this side, the limitation of our imagination and the limitation of our wish. Of course, evil imagination cannot be allowed in paradise, because evil imagination would lead to evil wish, and evil wish cannot materialize in paradise, then you are not in paradise anymore. It is good imagination, benign imagination, that leads to benign and good wish, which would give you the bounties of paradise. Therefore, what we try to do here, or what we have to do here, and how we can upgrade ourselves to be in better places of paradise, is to upgrade our imagination of goodwill, of good doing. In a way, by practicing, by exercising what Allah tells us in terms of good wish, goodwill, things which are good in this world, we expand our capacity for good imagination. And the capacity for good imagination in the paradise would turn into capacity for better living, for higher places. Now you might think that, okay, what can we imagine in paradise more than what is mentioned here in the Quran, palaces, gardens, a different type of things which are mentioned here, good clothes, bracelets of gold and silver, and all these things we can imagine. However, in paradise we have two different types of lights. As I think I have explained here before, we have a physical life, just like this world we have a physical life. We have a spiritual life. And the spiritual life is of course more important than physical life. Human soul cannot live without body. This is what is established. Soul is something that needs a body. Even when we leave this world, we do not leave this world without anybody, absolutely. We would be in another body, which is an imaginal body, a body which has image, but which has no matter. And that is how we live in Barzakh. The soul cannot live there without a body. And the body is there, but the body is different. And when the Barzakh is finished, we come to the arena of the resurrection. Of course, the soul goes to a new body. And that is the physical body, which is created there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. And of course is much more capable, much more rigorous than the body that we have in this world, because it has to endure the punishments of hell and to experience the pleasures of paradise, which of course our body here are not capable our bodies here are not capable to experience those pleasures in paradise. It would explode if we experience those things which are mentioned for paradise here. So, the soul needs a body. If there is a body, there is a life, physical life. If there is a physical body, there is a physical life. And therefore, in paradise and in hell, we have a physical life. The physical life, of course, is explained in the Quran. In terms of the type of pleasures that they have, whatever they need is prepared for them. They wear very nice clothes of silk, wearing silvers and gold, and living in such and such places. This is the physical life. And it really does not change very much from person to person. Of course, there are some differences according to, again, the capacity of the wish of people. However, the wish here, the will of human beings here, are almost identical. There's no much difference. In Surah Ar-Rahman, if you have noticed, two levels of paradise are mentioned. One is the level of Muqarrabun, and the other is level of Ashabul Yameen, ordinary people. This is also mentioned in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Two levels of paradise are mentioned. And the ni'mas which are mentioned in terms of physical life in both places are almost identical. Of course, there is difference in expression in both places, but it's the same. If you, let's look at Surah Waqi'ah. Surah number 56, and see the difference between the two paradises mentioned here. It's Surah number 56, first verses number 7 onwards. It says that وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا, when you come to us on the day of judgment, you are of three types. Three groups, فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ, the people of the right hand, وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ, the people of the left hand, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, and the foremost ones, there, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, these are ones brought near. Now, look how their place in paradise is described, their Jannah is described. فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, who will reside in the garden of bliss, a multitude from the former generation and a few from the later generation on brocaded coaches. Now these are the physical type of life, this is the physical type of life mentioned here. On brocaded coaches, reclining on them face to face, they will be waited upon by immortal youths with goblets and ewers and a cup of clear wine, which neither causes them headache nor stupefaction, and such fruits as they prefer, and such flesh of fowls as they desire, and big-eyed houris like guarded pearls, a reward for what they used to do. They will not hear therein any vain talk or sinful speech, but only the watchword, peace, peace. Now, this is the physical life for Muqarrabun. The physical life for Ashabul Yameen, wa Ashabul Yameen, ma Ashabul Yameen, amid thornless lote trees and clustered spaces and extended shade and ever-flowing water and abundant fruits, neither is inaccessible nor forbidden, and noble spouses, we have created them with a special creation, these spouses, and made them virgins, loving of a like age, for the people of the right hand. Again, not very much difference from what Ashabul Yameen, from what Muqarrabun had, except of course with this is less splendid in expression than what was mentioned for Muqarrabun. In Surah Ar-Rahman, the previous surah, one surah before this, Surah number 55, it says that verse number 46. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ, for him who stands in awe of his Lord, will be two gardens. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? This is of course addressed to jinn and ins, for muqarrabun from jinn and muqarrabun from ins. One garden for muqarrabun from ins, one garden for muqarrabun from jinn. Therefore there are two gardens. And then the address is to both ins and jinn, which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? Now, the way these gardens are described, of course, I don't go to repeat فَبْأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ in translation. Both abounding in branches, in both of them will be two flowing springs. In both of them will be two kinds of every fruit. They will be reclining on beds lined with green silk, and the fruit of the two gardens will be near at hand. In them are maidens of restrained glances, whom no human has touched before, nor jinn, as though they were rubies and corals. So which of your Lord's bounties will you both deny? Is the requital of goodness anything but goodness? Then it says, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّةً. Beside these two, or below these two, there will be two other gardens. This is of course the paradise of Ashabul Yameen, of ordinary mu'minun. Dark green, the greenery is so the foliage of the trees are so strong, so abundant that it seems to be dark. Dark green, in both of them will be two gushing springs. In both of them will be fruits, date palms and pomegranates. In them are maidens good and lovely, houris secluded in pavilions, whom no human has touched before, nor jinn, reclining on green cushions and lovely carpets. Blessed is the name of your Lord, the majestic and the munificent. So, not much different between the two types of gardens. However, this is the physical life. The spiritual life in paradise of these two groups are very, very much different. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests himself to them, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with them, the way he reveals himself to them, are very much different from each other. And this is what actually makes the gradations of paradise, the different grades in paradise. As we know, the Quran mentions, look how different are the grades of people in this world. In Akhirah, the grades are much more varied than what you see in this world. Not, of course, all of us are going to have the same life in paradise. In a way, we can say that no two people would have the same life, the same type of life in paradise, in terms of the spiritual relation that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the doors, of course, are open. Whatever door you want to open, it will be opened for you. However, you don't see some doors if your wish has not expanded enough in this world. If your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not expanded, you have not acquired much knowledge about God in this world, you have not acquired much closeness to Allah in this world, then in paradise, of course, you wouldn't have the wish which someone like Prophet, for example, would have. You wouldn't have the aspiration of someone like the saints in paradise with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this is how our lives would become different in paradise. We live in different places, in different atmospheres of our own souls. Our souls are very much different. However, when we come to each other, when we sit and talk to each other, we see that our lives are exactly equal to each other. We do not see any difference. Because if you see someone having someone better from you, and you wish that you had that position, and you wish that you had that type of life, it should have been granted to you according to what is mentioned in the Quran. Whatever you wish, there will be for you. Now, our material taste, our physical taste as well might be different. And that's why we get differences in this world, and we get differences in paradise as well. The difference between these tastes are not so great that we would have a totally different type of physical life in paradise. What is really different, what makes really difference, is the type of spiritual aspirations that we have. And therefore, although we see the prophets have a type of life in paradise totally probably different from us, but we never wish to have it because we cannot understand it. There is a very nice example given by Jesus Christ in one of the reports from him, that once he was asked by some of his disciples that you say that in paradise everyone has whatever they wish, and in paradise there is no jealousy, no one would envy anything that others have, no one would feel jealous about others. And again, we know that people live in different situations in paradise. Prophets are not living like ordinary people. Muqarrabun are not living like Ashabul Yameen. So how come they do not envy, they do not wish what others have above them? Now, Jesus Christ gave a very beautiful example. He said, when dresses are tailored for different people in a family, for father, for mother, for children. Of course, the dress of the father is different from the dress of the mother. And the dress of children, especially, are much smaller than the dress of their parents. However, do you think the children would ever wish that they had the dresses of their parents to wear? Exactly what they have is what they really like. They would like to wear their own dresses, rather than the dresses of their parents. Despite the fact that they are bigger, they might be more beautiful, everyone is content with a dress which is tailored for them. This is a very nice example, because the paradise is tailored for every person in a way that it fits them. And when it fits them, they never would wish to have anything higher. They never would wish to have anything different from what they have. So, what the meaning of مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ may be, is that in paradise, every door that you may knock is open for you. There is no locks there. There is nothing which is hidden from you. Of course, when I say from you, from your personality, from the way you imagine, the way you wish, there are imaginations above your imagination. There are wishes above your wishes, but you don't have them. Wishes and imaginations that you have, any door you knock, are open. مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ. No restriction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The restriction you set on yourself. And this is what our philosophers say about this world as well. That why, for example, more bounties don't come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why this limited thing, these limited ni'mas are given to people in this world. They say it's given according to their capacity. However, it's difficult to imagine it in this world. In the next world, it's easy to imagine and understand. That limitations come due to restrictions of imagination of people, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gardens of Eden, whose gates are flung open for them. Well, here, of course, the translation says, the gate of that paradise. But, of course, مُفَتَّحَةً لَكُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ doesn't have exactly this meaning. It means the doors are open for them. Now, it might be the gates of paradise, or the doors in the paradise, any door that we knock might be open. And one other interesting thing mentioned about paradise and its doors, there are, of course, doors inside paradise, as there are gates for the paradise. It's mentioned that وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. From every door that they open in paradise, the angels would enter from that door. Now, the angels, of course, in this world has a function. The angels in paradise has another function. The function of the angels in paradise that meet us and we can meet them because we now have entered the realm of angels as well. The angels and human beings can live in the same place and can see each other, can talk to each other. This restriction of communication which we have in this world is now removed and taken away. The angels there bring the tranquility and composure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, they bring more knowledge to the heart of the believers. So, any door, any new door you open in that paradise, in it there is composure, in it there is knowledge, more knowledge, in it there is more manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And the more you live there, the more magnificent your life will become, the more magnificent your heart will become. You are always waiting for the next day to come to see what pleasures Allah has hidden for you for the next day. It's a life which is always expected. I mean, the next day is always expected by today. And tomorrow we expect the next day to come to see what pleasures Allah has in store for us by new angels coming to us, talking to us, bringing us new composure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sakina which Allah mentions in the Quran coming to the heart of some of the believers in this world, you would see that in paradise every day would come to you at a higher level. And therefore these doors are open, you open them from every door. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. From every door the angels would come to them, would speak to them, and every day you see more beautiful angels than you had seen in the previous day. Okay, this is one type of description of paradise. جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ مُتَّكَئِينَ فِيهَا. Reclining therein on couches. Of course, this is a description usually used for kings or people of high stature, that they just reclined and waited others to serve them. The same expression The same expression is mentioned about people in paradise. You don't need to do anything there. You just recline like kings, rest, summon whatever you want and whoever you want, and they would come to you. متكئين فيها يدعون فيها بفاكهة كثيرة وشراب. Therein they ask for abundant fruits and drinks. Now, يدعون, as Tabrizi has mentioned in Majmu' al-Bayan, has a meaning of تحكم. They order, they rule there, that I want this. In a way, of course, not with arrogance that the kings have. This is just one ni'mah Allah has given them. Whatever they want, just like children who are obeyed by their parents, they just rule that I want this, and everything are ready for them. It's not just requesting, it's more than requesting. Yad'una is more than requesting here. It's just ruling that I want this, and everything will come for them. You're reclining there on couches. Therein they ask, and more than ask, actually, they command. They command بِفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ فَشَرَابٍ, for abundant fruits and drinks. Of course, again, abundant drinks. Now, why abundant? Why فَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ? Many of them. Well, in this world, unfortunately, our appetite is very limited. We eat a little bit. Of course, we have lots of desire to eat very delicious things, but our appetite does not allow us, does it? We just eat a little bit, and then we are full and we cannot continue eating. There, of course, this limitation is taken away. You eat, but your belly does not get full. And you do not actually think that you are restricted. You do not think that you are restricted in what you desire to eat or to drink. Now, of course, this eating and drinking has a spiritual aspect as well. It's not just like this world that it's only physical contentment. There is a spiritual contentment in this as well, because there is a spiritual taste to all these as well. And especially in the sharab, the drinks which are in paradise. Sharab, of course, in many translations is translated as wine. It might be a right translation because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions that it is a type of wine but doesn't have the effects or the influence which the wine in this world would have on the mind. It has the benefits, it doesn't have the harms. The benefit is a type of elation of the soul. Your soul would somehow become more imaginative. And that imagination is something which is good in paradise. However, there is not the headache, there is not that type of foolishness which comes after a drink in this world. And there is a spiritual aspect to these drinks as well. First of all, some of these drinks, of course the drinks we drink there are according to our level, but some of these drinks are purifying drinks. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. Their Lord makes them drink, gives them drink, which is pure and purifying. Now, pure and purifying, of course pure we understand, but do we need purification in paradise as well? Because the meaning of sharab and tahura is a drink which purifies. We know that no human being can enter paradise unless they are already purified. So what's the meaning of this purification which this wine would give to human beings? And due to that purification, then more blessings from Allah can come to you. Higher manifestations of Allah can come to you because you are now more purified. And there are some drinks which have mixtures of ginger, some drinks which have mixture of camphor, and any type, each type would have a different influence, a different, it would give you a different experience. So I think what I will do, because to go through the analysis of all these types of different drinks, would take some time. I think next week we start with discussing these different drinks which are given to people of paradise, and then of course there are drinks for people of hell, and it's mentioned here in a couple of verses ahead, and we have to discuss about that as well. The different drinks given to people of paradise and different drinks given to people of hell, and the effects they have, especially for the people of paradise, inshallah we leave and discuss it for next week. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله. You like to die sooner and go there.
Lovely. Thank you again very much. It was very enlightening. I wish, I think if this is the focus of what is to come in heaven, then
to die sooner.
You keep on expanding our imagination every time we listen to you. My question is, you mentioned paradise and you were describing it. I don't know if, and there you mentioned spouses at one point, and then you mentioned virgins at one point. The feminine, spouses meaning either male or female. But in other places, it talks about huris, pearl dye. And we have that in the dua in Ramadan too. And the question that I have that has been in my mind for a long time is that, is this because it is addressed to the male, and so it's not necessarily a gender-based? Because, the question that comes to mind is, why is it mentioned in that form? Is it because it was addressed to the Prophet, so that it's not addressed to a female? Like, when you read the Quran and you talk about that, you get my question?
Yes, yes. I don't know, shall we leave this for next week, probably, when we are discussing the issue of huris?
No.
Or we might,
I think I can wait for a week.
yeah, because I'm going to talk about that in detail, inshallah.
Salaam alaikum. Sheikh, in this world, a person who endeavors and gets up education, you find that his mind and his imagination is greater. Person who is biased, who has this education and imagination, and the person who is deified and also brought up in a village where he has access to nothing, would that make a difference in Jannah, what he can ask for and what he can achieve?
Yes, of course. The people receive, not in terms of physical pleasures. Physical pleasures are, as I said, are not much different. But yes, the people receive from Allah there the blessings according to the knowledge they have acquired in this world. And this is why we are so, so strongly are advised to increase our knowledge in this world. In any aspect. Because anything you see in this world is a manifestation of God. So you increase knowledge about it. In a good way, not in an evil way. Because you increase your imagination, knowledge. In evil way, you get more punishment in the hell. So, in a good way, you increase your knowledge and imagination, especially about Allah Himself. Then, of course, there you get more bounties. And there are lots of examples given that a very good person with little knowledge, with little understanding, is going to receive less in paradise than a person who is not as good but has more knowledge about the issue.
In this world, there's so many people that we don't even come across the knowledge of Allah and they don't have any chance.
Well, they go to paradise, but of course, what they receive there is according to what they understand. And that's why, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِدْ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ النُّجُومِ. The merit of an alim above an abid. Abid is someone who is a very good person worshipped. Alim is someone who has knowledge. The merit of him, if we want to compare them, is like moon to other stars when we look from the earth. And all these instances mentioned about the merit of learning knowledge, having more knowledge, just all tells us about the fact that it is knowledge which is very much important.
Thank you very much for your lecture. My question is, you know, in certain pages in the Quran, it mentions certain words like, it says green cushions, or it says pomegranates, banana trees. What's the significance of all this, like, in respect to the words, like, why do you say green cushions, then? Why pomegranates?
Inshallah, we'll go and see. I don't know. I really don't know.
And another part is, whatever is haram in this world is also going to be haram in heaven as well.
There's no haram in heaven. There's nothing. You are not restricted by anything. In fact, you cannot imagine anything which is unlawful when you go to paradise. You are purified in a way that your imagination never goes to that direction. And therefore, we have no haram in paradise. This, of course, sense of law, legal obligations and these things, will all disappear there in paradise.
So,
silk,
gold, and all these
will
not be haram.
There's
no haram at all.
No, of course it's not, because Allah mentioned that the man would be wearing them. Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time, sir. I just want to mention about that after death, each soul requires body, and it takes a different body even in birth. So the, in Hindu religion, they believe in reincarnation, and each soul requires another body according to the deeds what it has performed in this world. So can you just enlighten? Is there any truth in with that, with that, and how does this relate to the kind of bondage? And their philosophy is also quite deep into reincarnation according to the deeds what it has performed in this world.
Well, incarnation is a very widespread belief, and has been a very widespread belief among many religions. And we have some sects in Islam that were influenced by the idea and really believe in the incarnation, reincarnation. Usually those faiths who believe that God can be incarnated in a body in this world, usually they believe in incarnation of the soul as well. I mean, the Hindus believe that God could be incarnated in human form and come to this world, and they believe in reincarnation of human beings as well. the Druzes among the Muslims, they believe in the incarnation of God in human bodies. They believe that God incarnated in Ali, peace be on him, and in different people until he eventually incarnated in Al-Hakim. They also believe in reincarnation of the soul. Usually they are somehow hand in hand. However, Islam categorically, I mean all Abrahamic religions, they categorically reject the idea. And there are different reasons for that. When we say that souls need body all the time, we don't mean that they need to be in this world all the time. The soul in itself is something which if is not defined by a body, cannot do anything. Of course, the main power of us in this world is the soul. It's the soul which uses our body here. And for example, I want to convey some meanings to you, which of course my soul wants to do it. But I have no means but my body. I use my body, I convey my meanings to you. In Barzakh as well, if the soul wants to exist, if it wants to move, if it wants to understand, it is only through a body, which is the imaginal body, the body which is mechal, which is image. That's having all the qualities of physical body, but it is not physical, it doesn't have matter. And when we go to the Day of Judgment as well. But a soul, why should a soul be reincarnated? If we think about it, why should a soul be reincarnated? Our souls, according to Islam, our souls come to this world, the philosophy of the soul coming to this world, is that it should learn things. The soul is crude, the soul is untrained, it doesn't know anything when Allah creates it. And when we come out of the wombs, as the Quran mentions, Allah wallahu akhrajakum min butun ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah brought you out of the wombs when you did not know anything. And then, because you had a body in which there were eyes and ears and hearts, a center for understanding, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And when you have this, then the soul can learn. So our souls have come to this world to learn. And after we learn few things, we experience things, we leave this world to another world. Now, the reincarnation says that soul again comes to another body to get a higher level, for example, or to somehow be relegated to a lower level. The question is why a soul should come to this world twice? Because even according to the reincarnation theory, the soul doesn't come in this world starting from where he had stopped. It starts again from scratch. The new soul doesn't know again anything. And it starts from a scratch. And therefore, what is the purpose of doing this? Bringing a soul several times in this world to remove whatever they had learned in the previous world and to start again in a new situation. According to, as I said, Abrahamic religions, there is no point to this. The soul comes to this world, it learns once, it goes to another world, which is Barzakh, in a different type of body. It stays there in a phase which, of course, we don't know how long will it take. And then there will come another phase. It goes to a new body created for him in the day of resurrection. This idea of body changing, soul changing bodies, especially a body in this world, a body on the day of resurrection, has given rise to the idea that, okay, a soul might be able to go in different bodies in this world as well. While if we really analyze it, there is no purpose for it. Why a soul should come several times in this world? And the things that the soul has learned, why should it be removed from it? And it starts again. Again in something which the destination of it is not clear. Going towards the better or going towards the worse. So, this is something that we can address.
I just have to ask you, in terms of the blessings that you see in paradise, and the sins in the share, really, more so
As I said, the reward, especially the spiritual reward in paradise, is according to the knowledge that we have in this world about God, about the pain and these issues. And therefore, if the knowledge is restricted, the blessings are restricted. There is a hadith from the Prophet, which is mentioned in Dua Nudba as well, that addressing to Ali, says, وَشِيَعْتُكَ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ مُبْيَضَّةً وُجُوهُهُمْ حَوْلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Your followers will be sitting on couches or on feet of light round me in paradise. Meaning that the level of someone who follows you in a nice way, is just like my level in paradise. They will be around me. And therefore, those people who don't know Ali, who don't know how to follow him, wouldn't have that equal standing as, of course, the Shia of Ali would have. Sometimes some Muslims have some views about God, some views about the hereafter, which are so simple that one would think that what type of reward these people are going to really receive. There is an example given by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam to one of his companions. The example says that once Musa saw a very, very pious person. While he was traveling on a mountain in a cave, he saw a very, very pious person. That Musa was amazed of his sincerity, of the type of worship he was offering. He was incessantly saying zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting some verses from some holy books and these things. And Musa told Allah, God, I wish I was like this man. He is very, very pious. And would you please let me see what is the place of this man in paradise? And Allah said, okay, look. And Musa was shown the place of that person in paradise. It was a very meager, a very simple place. Just a mansion in paradise without that splendor of spiritual type of understanding. And Musa was very much amazed. He said, Ya Allah, how? This is more sincere than I am. Why this type of reward? And Allah said, you go and have his company for a few days and you will understand. And Musa went and told him, can I serve you for a few days? Can I have your company? Eventually he agreed. And after several days of worshipping and saying zikr with each other, Musa told him that, do you have any worries? Do you have any needs that I can, for example, fulfill for you? I can serve you in that. He said, no, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me every ni'mah. I'm very content with my situation. But I always had one question in my mind. And that is, all these grasses you see here, these great lands which are very, very suitable for grazing, they are going waste. It's israf, really, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create all these things. And I wonder why Allah doesn't send his donkeys and his flocks to come and graze here. He thought that Allah is a great man, a king, having flocks and donkeys and these things. God, that was his understanding of God. And then Allah said, look, this is why this man has little reward. Because his understanding... And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the reward is suitable or is comparable to the way you understand, to the amount of your aql and understanding. And when we see these simple-minded people, very sincere people, of course they are good, they are pious, but if they learn a little bit more about their Lord, it is much better than performing all those worships that they offer.
I have two questions. One, is there any chance of upgrade in Jannah? Like if you're at a lower stage and if you have more knowledge, can you go up further level?
No. No change in levels in paradise because there is no nothing that you can acquire there anymore. No actions. which would somehow take you to a higher level. The actions are here. The levels are determined here, and therefore there is no upgrade. However, it doesn't mean that you do not move up. Everyone moves up. It's just like a train, which some people are sitting in the front wagon, some people are sitting in the back. And the train is moving, and everyone is going forward, but they don't change in the location. All of us, when we enter paradise, we start a move or an upward type of upgrading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us. But everyone is stationed where they are, and they move. We have in hadith that after 50,000 years that people, ordinary people, live in paradise, they will come to an understanding of God that Prophet, peace be on him, had in this world. And you can imagine where Prophet would go after 50,000 years. Not that they reach the level of the Prophets. They reach that level, but Prophet is not there anymore. Prophet is much, much higher. So there is no change in levels, but there is change in location, in upwards movement.
And secondly, if you said that in Surah Waqi'ah, for example, the two gardens, there's not much difference between them. Why does Allah then describe them? And you also said that the spiritual aspect of paradise is more elevated than the physical one. Why does the Quran go in lengthy descriptions of the physical one, not the spiritual one?
Yeah, good question, because we don't understand the spiritual aspect. It's impossible for us to understand. We don't even understand the spiritual status of prophets in this world. If they want to explain for us what type of experiences they have, it's impossible. So how could Quran describe that for us? There are just some allusions to it. That, for example, وَرَضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. After describing the paradise, is وَرَضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and just a little pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is pleased with you, is much above all these things. This is just an allusion to the fact that there is a spiritual type of aspect to life in paradise, but of course the details, even if it's mentioned, we cannot understand it.
What about the other way? I mean, if you are in a lower level of heaven, but you want to meet your imams and the prophets, can they come down to your level?
No, you can meet. I mean, you can go and see them, visit them. It's possible, but it doesn't mean that you go to their level. Just like this world, you visit different people, but your worlds are completely different from each other. By visiting the Prophet, of course, there is this idea for our Sunni brothers that anyone who visited the Prophet becomes immaculate. Companions of the Prophet are immaculate because they visited the Prophet. This is, of course, an idea that we do not accept. Just visiting the Prophet doesn't make someone immaculate. And the same thing would be in paradise. You wish to see the Prophet, okay, if Prophet has time, you will see him. But, of course, it doesn't mean that you change levels with each other, or you become people of the same level.
No, because the people can't change levels, can the imams and the prophets change levels to visit their followers at lower levels?
No, when we say levels, it doesn't mean that there are just compartments or stories for paradise, each person living in one story. I mean, they must all see each other as well. The levels are the spiritual levels. Not that it's restricted, it's like, just like a different hell in which people are there. So yes, I mean, it doesn't mean for them to leave their levels and come and visit you, or you for us to go to higher levels to visit them. We can visit them there. However, we do not change levels.
Another question is that, just an addendum to the previous excellent question, reincarnation, and the response. Do you think it suggested that there was no value for the soul to change bodies, in the fact it's learning, and then we have to then see the progress of that learning in the past and the judgment? So I think that a common belief amongst those who believe in reincarnation is that it's actually an incremental increase in knowledge, so that If the change in body is from a lower creature to a higher creature, what great understanding. So that the knowledge built in the soul increases from a lower level to a higher level. So in that case, there might possibly be a justification for reincarnation.
Well, those who believe in incarnation, they don't believe that the soul starts in a new body from where they have finished. They have stopped in the previous body. They believe that they start from scratch again. While the idea of the upward movement of soul from this world to Barzakh to the Day of Judgment is that the soul starts from where it had ended in the previous body, in the previous world. And in addition to that, it doesn't go back to the same world, it goes to a new world, to a new phase of its creation. Therefore, this idea of incremental increase in the value of the soul or in the knowledge of the soul is not acceptable, since the soul again starts from scratch. And in addition to that, the idea of incarnation has an idea of reward and punishment with it as well. If you are a good soul, you will be rewarded by going to a better body. I don't know, there's contradiction here. I mean, if you are a good soul, you go to the body of a better person. What does it mean? Because the person is realized by its soul. In fact, it's your own soul who goes and lives in another body, not a type of other person's, other soul, or something like that. But anyhow, it has two sides to it. You either get punishment and are relegated to a worse situation, or are rewarded and get to a better situation. But anyhow, it doesn't go with the standards of our understanding of the movement of the soul and the development of the soul and the issues.
Before I ask the question, in your response to Sister's question about where we meet the prophets and where we are, you mentioned it, I think, in the previous lecture, when you said, what would I call more of you? So I think that was just an excellent reminder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, وَحَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا.
Yeah,
in verse number 69 of Surah Nisa, وَمَنْ يُتَأَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever has faith and does good, they will be with those whom we have favored our blessings on them, prophets, siddiqeen, shuhada, and salihin. And yeah, the verse mentions, good that you reminded me, thank you very much. The verse mentions very clearly, they will be with them, not from them. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. You will be with them, but you wouldn't be regarded as one of them, not from them yet.
Sheikh, one question I have is, in this world we have a short life, 60, 70, 80 years, for which we can try to purify ourselves. And in the next one, where we haven't achieved it in this world, Allah, in His mercy on us, purifies us on the day of Qiyamah. But it takes a long time. Why should it take so much longer there than here, when the veils are lifted there, and we can see much clearly that the veils of dunya are not there anymore? So why should it take so much longer there than it would here, having a finer soul?
Because here we can decide about things, and it's due to our decision. In a way, the soul is not completely formed and molded. We mold it here by our decisions, by repentance, or by deciding to be evil, or whatever. There, of course, is out of our hands. There, the task is to remold a soul. And remolding it takes longer than molding it. Molding it, or giving form and shape to it in this world, is easy for us because Allah made it has put it in our hands. There, of course, the difficulty is that it's not in our hands anymore. We have to go through certain things so that we could realize that we were wrong. It's just realizing against what we knew. And some people, of course, never can realize that they were wrong. As we have in Quran, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُهُ يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فيحلفون له كما يحلفون لكم ويحسبون أنهم على شيء. The day Allah gathers all of them and they start to swear lies before Allah as they swear lies before you, and they think that this is going to help them. You see, they still do not realize that what has happened, that change has come, that they have they are now in the new world. They still do not realize that. So that remolding takes longer than molding, which is in our hands in this world.
If in heaven everybody is, you know, satisfied and happy and doesn't want for anything, does it matter people are on different spiritual levels? Because in their own right, you know, they are completely satisfied and happy. Is there a need, you know?
Yeah.
Want to be on a higher level.
Well, that's the good thing about paradise. No, it doesn't make any difference, of course. However, someone looking from outside can see what's the difference between all these. And in this world, even you can say that if people are satisfied with a little amount of food and drink, why should they go through all these hardships to get more and more and more? The point is that human being, this ambition which is put in human being is good in a way, is bad in another way. The ambition is put in us, is placed in our souls, is placed in our nature, so that we always aspire for higher things. And when we use it for the akhirah, that's good. And when we aspire higher things, we get higher levels there, and we are closer to God, we have more bounties there.
Would we end up aspiration there as well, still have that urge?
We have aspiration, but our aspirations are always satisfied.
Yes,
are always fulfilled. But the aspirations are equal to our capacity. People of higher aspirations have different, more capacities, they receive more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who once said to some of his followers that, I am sure that all of you would go to paradise. That you shouldn't be worried about that. You should be worried about your level in paradise. Because that is what is important now. That after you know that Allah would let you in paradise, you try for higher levels there. And of course, those people who are at higher levels can understand the difference. People who are at lower levels, they cannot. People who are at higher levels, they can understand the difference.
Is
there?
In Surah Rahman, mentioned that there are two paradises for each group. Is there any significance why two for each group, why not one?
Because most probably it is everything else and jinn. And it says, فَبَأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And رَبِّكُمَا is addressed to jinn and ants. So there will be one paradise for jinn, one paradise for ants. They live in different paradises because their aspirations, their way of life are completely different from each other. However, they live in the same hell. That's what is mentioned. There are not two sets of hells, one for jinn, one for ants. Ants and jinn, they go one in one hell. However, in paradise, it's different. And maybe in some exegetes have mentioned about the huris, which are mentioned in Jannatul Muqarrabun, كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. They are like yaqut, rubies, and marjan. Marjan is white, rubies are very red. Says that these are, of course, referring to huris for jinn and huris for ants. كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. That's it.
So, jinn and ants would not mix at all in the other world. Although there are some suggestions that some people believe that yes, jinn have influence over things in this world, whether vice versa.
In hell, yes, they live, they meet and they live in the same place. And in fact, the shayateen, who are from the type of jinn, they will be imprisoned in the same cell as the human beings that they have misguided. However, yes, in paradise, no. I mean, they are all angels you see there, you don't aspire to see jinn at all. Those angels would satisfy your curiosity about the other world. is the world of jinn and angels.
I seem to go around in circles in my thoughts, and I'm almost losing the connection between life here and the next life. Let's just assume for a moment that I myself, Nizar, will go to Jannah.
So the question is that this is...
I'm sure you will, inshallah.
Thousands and thousands and millions of years away still, that stage. And development will occur throughout in this world up to that stage. Yes, we have seen the developments over the last 50 years. So we don't know where the world would be, what it would be like. And if the Jannah, the atmosphere there, if the facilities there, etc., are going to be related to human beings, knowledge and mind, etc., it is just unimaginable what it would be like, really. And then there is this concept of you going there, you eat as much as you want, but you don't get full. So it brings into my mind the whole concept of human organs are going to be different. So how are we going to be humans there? Is it going to be something different? How can that energy canal manage you eating? And then I start thinking scientifically about sanitation and all that. So, what I'm able to come to a conclusion, is it really going to be desired as a human being? If I do go to Jannah, then it's going to be there? Or I think it's going to be something else altogether?
Are you really the Nizar who was in the womb of his mother? Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Not really. I mean, one of our...
I can't imagine that, but I know it was me.
It was you, but much, much, much different, wasn't it? I mean, someone used to tell us that when you were in the womb, you could not imagine. If someone told you, you go to another world, and you will eat a bread twice your size, you say, wow, it's not possible at all. And now we have come and we are eating more than that as well, and we are not surprised at all. There was no idea of, for example, in the womb that we could see these magnificent things, we could walk, for example, we could go to places. If someone would have told us this is going to happen, well, we couldn't imagine that. Or even you could eat. Of course, we had nutrition there, but we did not eat there. Now we come here, we eat, and this is something completely different from the life we had there. So, yes, of course, there are dramatic changes in the way of living and in our physical constitution and structure there. However, still it's the soul of Dr. Nizar. I don't know whether there are doctors in Jannah or not.
I really feel it at the soul level, really. Not at the body level.
Exactly. It's the soul which goes into a new body, yes.
Yeah. Or into something else.
Sorry?
It may go into a body, it may be something else altogether that we can't imagine.
We are told that it's body. Its body is physical. But okay. Completely
physical body, but may not be related to human being body.
We are told that when we go to that arena of resurrection, we can realize each other, we can recognize each other.
I forget a verse where it says, or hadith, that you're not going to recognize the spouses of your parents.
No, you recognize them, but you want to run away from them. That's a different issue. If they are sinners, you want to run away from them. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. The day when the person runs away from his brother, his spouse, and the fact that you run away from them means that you recognize them, and then you run away from them, certainly, of course. Especially from your spouse.
Yeah, I think we'll give a last session.
Okay.
Poor Sheikh Ramakul, you're still on the earth, not in heaven. All this question about heaven, can't you just wait and live for a bit more? You're going there to see Allah, and I think that's sufficient.
Inshallah. Yes, we can wait, of course, but we can imagine, as the Quran has given us the taste or some descriptions, which, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ponder on it. Certainly, Allah wants us to ponder on what He has mentioned in the Quran. We cannot say that although Allah has mentioned these in the Quran, but we do not ponder about it, we do not think about it, we do not try to understand it and explain it. There is a mention of it here because Allah wants us to ponder on it. And this is what we are doing. And that's all we can, of course, know about it. In Barzakh, there are different types of life for different people. Those who are purely evil, they have a life of punishment and torment. Those who are purely good, they have a life of pleasure and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like a paradise in Barzakh. Those who are in the middle, not purely good, not purely evil, we are told that they are put in a sleep, in a type of sleep or slumber, in which they do not know much about the lapse of time and things which are happening until the day of resurrection. Then, of course, the souls go back to another world.
Just following up on Dr. Nisar's question. If we live in this era, obviously this era in terms of at least physical knowledge, scientific knowledge, knowledge about the world is much higher than it was, say, at the time of the Prophet or even beyond that. And you can imagine that if the world is not going to come to an end soon enough, it might end tomorrow, but it might not end. It might be another who knows how many thousands of years before the day comes. But human endeavor is progressing. So if somebody lives today or has lived before, he has more capacity, at least potential, because the means to understanding are higher. Just even the knowledge itself, whether it's knowledge about God or even the science of God, even knowledge about the world and worldly knowledge, it also leads to manifestation of God. So does that mean that the people of the last era have a higher place, or potentially have a higher place than the people of the first era or the previous era? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's also, you've heard that the Prophet said that the people of the last era will understand the tafsir or ta'wil of the words of, Surah Al-Hadid or something. Right, there is that mention. Because their knowledge will be such that they will be able to contemplate that. So, does that mean that it is actually a benefit to live in this era, even though there is a greater danger that you might slip into, because we are facing such problems? But is there a double-edged sword to this?
Not really, because if you want to ponder about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, the moment Adam alayhi salam was created or was descended on the earth, there was enough signs to see and ponder upon. Of course, we might see more signs of him, not more signs of him, we might become aware of more details of the nature of creation, of physical world. But it doesn't mean that we get more knowledge about him. It's knowledge about him which is important. And the Quran tells us in Surah Waqi'ah that about Muqarrabun, it says, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. Among the people of the past, there were many people who were like this. But among the people of the later generations, there are little of them. So, we are in disadvantage rather than in being in advantage.
Thank you, in this case, for the protracted session. Inshallah, we continue next time.
Inshallah.